show one is in the bag. We're on to show number two. We got impressive feedback, actually, on show number one.
I don't know
if you guys heard, but a lot of people were telling me they loved it. All walks of life. Young, old, black, white, Asian. People were like, you guys got a good show. There's potential there. And I agree. I'm like, we're going to bring a better show every week.
Let's give ourselves a little pat on the back.
Let's not start sucking each other's dicks just yet.
I don't have one.
Golf clap.
No, there was a lot of things we could have improved on, like a little less yapping. I think we changed subjects a little too fast.
Well, let's not criticize ourselves.
No, we're good.
Let's just do the second one and see how it turns out. It's like having a child. We fucked up on the first kid, but let's see how the second one goes. Honey, sorry.
I'm a firstborn. What are you trying to say?
Me too. So that.
Hey, last week our guest host was Erica, but she has to work. She works evenings, so she has to. She works at Two Guys from Italy. In Glendale. So if you're there, give her a visit.
What's up?
But to this week's guest host is Meline Tovmasyan.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, and me and Yeva, as always.
As always,
The second time. It's already always.
Oh, yeah.
We're a huge show. Come on. We're officially podcasted now.
I know. It's kind of a big deal.
I'm excited for you guys.
I want to get a cutout of screaming fans outside your window.
Woo! No, we have to close the doors because too many fans are trying to get in. They're screaming.
I see the paparazzi actually lined up.
Yeah, there, it's going to be a problem. Should we just quit the show? We're already too big.
Fuck it.
We become commercial, mainstream, forget about it.
We're too big now. I mean, all I ask is that you don't look at me in the eyes from now on. And
Prince?
You call me Sir Alex, that's all.
Listen, let's not get egotistic right away.
Hey, speaking of Prince and egotism.
Yes.
When Prince was the symbol, mm-hmm. Well, he was no longer Prince, he was actually the symbol.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Before he would go to award shows, he'd have his publicist make sure, or whoever his people are, make sure that no one stares at him in the eyes while he's at the award show. He's like, tell everybody, make sure nobody looks at me in the eyes, or whoever Prince.
He sounds like an alien.
He's like, they're going to turn into stone.
If somebody looks in the eyes, there will be multiple lawsuits. I'm Prince.
Oh my God. Well, you know why people do that. It's a general thing amongst people who have egotistic issues or they are small people. Small people always feel the need to act big or important.
Right.
He is petite.
It's the Napoleon. Napoleon complex.
Exactly.
Have you seen him in concert?
He's great.
He's
live? I have
genius.
Not.
I mean,
Prince.
He's got a really pretty ass, though.
Speaking of asses.
So you're waiting for Prince to turn around so you can see as his tiny little sweet Prince ass.
I want
to
be yoke lover.
It's a tipuk.
It's a boutique.
No, but it was cool hearing everybody talk about the show. My old friend from high school, Chris Risden. Shout outs to Chris Liquor Boss Risden, who was giving me some good feedback on the show. This Liquor Boss, you know why his name is Liquor Boss?
I don't want to know.
Liquor Box?
Chris Liquor Boss Risden.
Oh, boss.
He makes his living going around selling markets, lounges, hangouts, bars, liquor. So he like sells the licenses, hey, buy my shit, buy my vodka.
He makes his own vodka?
He doesn't make his own vodka. I think his thing is Han vodka. So he goes around and convinces everyone that they should buy Han vodka, and that's how he makes his living.
Have you tried it?
I haven't. Of all the vodkas, I haven't tried.
Maybe he should sponsor the show with his vodka next time.
Hey!
We can see how it is. That's
a great idea. Portion of the show is sponsored by Han Vodka.
We'd
like to thank. Yeah, but don't say that. We're huge. Don't look at me in the eyes, please.
I'm sorry.
This first show is sponsored by Han Vodka, thanks to our boy, Chris Liquor Boss Risden.
Thanks, Chris.
But his feedback was like, he wanted us to talk more about the Armenians hanging out in front of Glen Oaks 7-Eleven.
Oh, my God. You know, every time I drive by Glen Oaks, I want to pull over and just be like, excuse me, what's going on over here? Is there a club I don't know about?
There is. It's a club of 5-6 guys who hang out in front of the 7-Eleven parking
Beamers.
Lot. Armenian guys.
Mercedes.
In their white or black Mercedes BMW.
That belongs to their daddies because they can't afford it.
Yeah, and in their jumpsuits.
I think five people in their family are under the lease on that Mercedes.
I think I know why they do this. This is a theory.
Okay.
You know how Armenian men live with their family till like 35, 40, or at least married? Well, since they don't have a place to congregate to do their razbirats, they have to go to the
place they don't have their own place.
Exactly.
So they have an $80,000 car.
And welfare.
But they don't have their own place to congregate and have a chat with their friends. Exactly. They have to go to 7-Eleven.
Or they'll have their business. They'll turn it into a little den, you know, and then have their couch, and they'll have all their friends hang out.
The razbirat crowd.
What if they did have their own place? Do you think they would make like a fake 7-Eleven wallpaper. So yes. They can feel at home, even yes. if they finally afford their own apartment.
Yes. 7-Eleven.
I love Robbie's guys, though. They're just funny to...
They have a lot of substance look for us at to make fun of.
I just love it when they go Describe. Down low and they just stand there with that stance, like they're ready the to papazen. Pounce or something.
The
you
papazen,
know?
Which the means papazen. Kneel down yeah, or yeah, yeah. crouch down.
I think that's why they live a long time, because that's a traditionally ancient yoga posture that generates cell growth in your thighs. So that's why we have very old Robbie's yes. guys, too.
I doubt Robbie's Armenians know anything about yoga. Ora yoga moga chagidem.
Yoga, listen.
Yoga, listen.
Is Marzang Cheman Umapen?
Actually, speaking of Marzang, my friend was in Armenia recently, and he said they don't exercise there. So in the mornings, he would go jogging.
Right.
And they'd look at him like...
They'd make fun of him.
What is Marzang?
Are you late somewhere? And right. he's like, I'm just jogging, dude.
Like, the police are after you?
Just bazoom. Yeah, Armenia is... The only people left in Armenia, and I shouldn't talk too much bad things because I still have some family there.
Me too.
But I think anybody who was smart already moved the felk out of Armenia in the 90s. Because
or
the 80s. Only people, or 80s, right? The only people left in Armenia right now are the lazy, we call them yetims. Like, worth nothing. All they do is talk about how hard they are and how cool they are and how they know everything about life, yet they don't fucking work a day in their lives.
Well, no, not necessarily true, because there's also the crowd that's like, it's yerkira yerkirchi, it's yerkira, all
Which
they do
means
is complain.
What?
This country is not a country, look at our situation.
Right.
Well, you know, if you just get up and do something and
right.
change people's minds instead of complaining all day.
No.
Exactly.
The funny thing is, no one in Armenia works, so they don't have income from jobs
yeah,
in Armenia.
We work for them.
We work for them. Their relatives outside of
yeah,
Armenia
send
them
money.
Send
clothes.
Them the Christmas stipends.
Bags and bags of clothes.
Bags of clothes.
On the ship. It takes Seriously, 2-3 months yeah. to get there.
But yet they still talk about borrowing large sums of money to buy cars. Where the
Armenians
fuck is this
love
money?
To be, have nothing, but they have to always put up this image that they have a lot. It's
Everything.
All about what people think.
Yeah.
Look at me. I look like yeah. I have a lot of stuff. So, you know, we're part of that. So,
But every culture has that. Okay, the Armenians have the Rabis, which characteristically, they drive the Mercedes, the BMWs. They wear the, what
Adidas.
Do they wear?
Adidas,
jumpsuits.
Versace, Armani.
Yeah. If it's expensive, then it's
Dolce Gabbana, Gucci.
Well, actually, they wear a lot of fake shit.
So. Well, that, it's all the, you know.
But if the brand imitation. Name looks expensive, that means their taste is good.
Right.
You know
right,
what
right.
is disgusting? Those huge colors of poo Louis Vuitton bags that
right.
all these girls carry around with nothing
The colorful
in it.
Ones? I'm not really into that.
So the Armenians have the Rabis. The Italians have the Guidos.
Which is Rabis.
Drive, instead of the Mercedes, they drive the Trans Am, Pontiacs. And they're like, hey, you think you're better than me?
Hey.
Hey, you know, next thing you know, 1, 2, 3, you know, this guy's dead.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, we've been friends for 2 years. You're going to treat me like that?
Hey.
And who else? Who else has like the Guido types?
I don't know.
The Japs? The Jewish American princesses? Like
the Jewish American princesses?
We have those.
There's
you know,
that type.
Big, well, I mean, I have a friend who does this like funny skit, and she has like, it's two girls who sing. They're called Jewish American princesses, and they have like this whole like get up with big hair and big makeup, big jewelry, and they talk like this.
They talk like that?
That.
Oh my God. Hey,
oh
Pat,
my
do you
God.
Have some super sako to queue up real quick? Because we're talking about Armenian Guido type, Rabis, whatever.
Ah, shtush.
I've been hearing a lot about this super sako cat. AKA Saint Sarkis.
I love the crazy things you make me do. I swear to God, I give up everything for you. The way you walk and talk when you see me. I'm trying to see you, but baby, can you see me? If you love something, let it go.
All right, well, obviously it's the typical R&B, whatever, rap. What do you call this genre? R&B, right?
It's
typical,
like,
yo, I'm hard, you know, my love is broken and I'm a player. I've heard this 100 times. And sure, he has an Armenian fan base, and I can't hate on that because apparently you can turn it down a little. I'm tired of hearing Saint Sarkis.
Already. I've heard of this guy, but I've never
listened
to
me.
His music.
I'm not going to hate because this guy's YouTube videos get 100,000 clicks, 160,000 clicks, whatever. We did a little research before we decided
we're
to...
We're not two boys.
Listen to me. My initial idea was, hey, let's hate on Saint Sarkis Super Sako for my next show. But then I'm realizing I'm not a hater. This guy actually is out there doing his thing, promoting his YouTube videos, getting all these female fans to write on his Facebook, whatever. Half the people haven't gotten as far as he's gotten, even though his lyrics are cheesy and played out. The beats are nothing new. There's nothing original being done. But I got to give the guy credit for just being persistent.
It's all about the marketing.
Right. Marketing.
But speaking of which.
Well, there's a target.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have a demographic of those guys that relate to that music, you know, and they really want to basically listen to the song that their people are making, you know?
Right.
Even though it's not really...
So even though the beats and the lyrics aren't that revolutionary, yeah. The fact that he's Armenian is catering to that Armenian crowd.
And everyone
crowd.
Wants to support the Armenians and really say, go for it.
So all I gotta say, Saint Sarkis, a.k.a. Super Sako, a.k.a. Surp Sarkis, keep doing what you're doing, man. Yeah. I can't hate on you.
No, there's no hate in here.
No, not at all.
It's all about love. L-O-V-E. Right. Have you seen...
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut your train of thought, but one thing with these Saint Sarkis types or whatever is the way they speak. Like, these guys adapted the whole hip-hop dialect.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to give a big up to my boy.
The slang.
Whatever,
you know,
yeah. Do you think if these guys were caught in a situation where they're scared for their life...
They'd pee on themselves.
That they would
they'd
keep
run.
This...
They'd run.
They'd keep this talk...
Like if someone goes, because it's all front, you know, it's all about like most of the music industry that has a rap. Some of these guys don't even have street credit, you know, they just look bad, you know, and they get this whole get up.
Right.
It's all about packaging and marketing.
Right.
Because that's what sells. You know, music sells what the society has to, you know. I mean, you have people who are like in the ghetto and they're like, okay, I want to
market on my ghetto-ness.
Yeah, my ghetto-ness, you know? I'm ghetto superstar with my bling bling, you know?
Well, of course, if these people were caught in some life-death situation, they turn into little pussies. Because if you look at a Zen master, he's so humble and quiet. But in a moment's notice, you are a dead motherfucker if he catches you.
Right, he doesn't have to put on a show.
There's no show.
Right.
But the people who put on a show, again, are small people.
So if someone pointed a gun at Super Sako, hey, bitch, get down on your knees. You think he'd be like, yo, man, yo, chill out for a minute, man. I'm Sako, whatever. He'd be like, hey, okay, sorry. Man, what do you want?
He'd be like, he's an opium. No,
he'd be like, bro, don't you know who I am? I'm Super Sako.
There's no way he'd do that. Obviously, Saint Sarkis didn't grow
up
in a ghetto.
Run.
I don't think Saint Sarkis' parents were dirt poor.
Up in Zaytun.
See, I think that's the problem. You know, like really be truthful. Don't play a front.
But bottom line, we can't hate. You know.
Because he's giving us stuff to talk about right now.
Oh, well, that's true. Look at what we're doing. We're pushing Saint Sarkis with our millions of listeners.
Yeah, we are.
I'm sorry, billions, because we just picked up China.
Woohoo!
Syndication.
Korea's on board, too, though.
But speaking of people who are speaking in this dialect, and I'm not really sure if that's really them or if they're putting on an act, before we started this podcast, I wanted to see who else was out there. What do all the other podcasts sound like right now, you know?
Crap.
And that is seriously it. Aside from the Adam Carolla podcast and This American Life and maybe some NPR... There's just all crap out there. I don't think anybody really knows what they're doing as far as podcasts.
Not really.
Except this show.
Well, I think people are afraid to talk sometimes, you know?
It's called the Raw Radio.
Raw Radio, sorry.
People fear expression, you know? They don't want to get in trouble, say the wrong things, and be hated, you know? So
hated
it's like,
by who?
By the public, you know? I mean, if you're going to be... outspoken and have opinions, some people that want to be, you know, controlling
good.
You. So
all publicity is good publicity, is that what they say?
I'm not sure if people hate expression. It's not knowing how to express.
Right.
You gotta be constantly conscious of who are your listeners. Are they interested in what I have to say right now? Am I losing them? Am I putting them to sleep?
Of course.
If I feel like I'm putting them to sleep, wake the fuck up. Change the subject.
Keep
ask something scandalous,
yeah, keep it
provocative,
fresh, modern.
But besides that, I think it's also the way you speak, where you can talk about anything and people will be engaged because of the way you're speaking.
And the way you speak, the
and
delivery.
And you can talk in any way.
Like, for example, I went to the comedy section of podcasts just to see who are the other people doing what we're doing. One of them was called Comedy Death Ray Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting title, whatever, I listened in. And it's just old guys talking like this. Yo, I'm going to give big up. We're heading out to the club. Shout outs. Yo, you keep it real. Coming up next is my boy, Johnny B, a.k.a. Johnny Bottle Service. What the hell are you guys talking about? But I got to say, I laughed a couple of times.
Right.
But most of the time, it's like, yo, say what's up to my boy, Johnny Doo, because he always does.
It's a what's up show.
Yo, the give names? Up to my girl right here, Yeva B.
Yo,
on my left,
beat?
I got Yeva B, because she always beat. And she doesn't know any other way to beat.
That's right.
And across from me is Mel
T.
T.
And she got some tea.
And she's got a pair of
nice TT.
She got a rack, all right?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
In any case.
You know what? I actually, there are news reporters that, I'm going to say, for this particular example, there was a black news reporter I saw on TV. I caught this on YouTube. I caught this on YouTube.
Did you see that?
He started off being the typical white. Today in
proper
English, we're going to report live from the scene. And then he turned ghetto in about 3 seconds. Listen to this clip.
What really happened on that Thursday here at Augusta High School that led to Chris Wood's death?
The fuck is that? Shit! I'm dying in this fucking country-ass fucked-up town.
In this fucking country-ass fucked-up town.
Shit flying in my mouth.
Hey, Pat, stop that real quick. Did you hear the beginning of his broadcast?
He was very white.
Well, what really happened was Chris Wood's
the high school that led to Chris Wood's death.
Chris Wood's death.
The fuck is that?
And then a fly just flew into his mouth.
Yeah, it was like bugs or something.
And he went from white to
ghetto. I think he's the opposite of Super Socko, who is ghetto, but then if something happens, he'll probably turn really white.
You're absolutely right.
Well, it showed that he actually turned ghetto, though. He was being all proper.
He went to his normal side.
Right.
See, that news reporter was really ghetto. He probably grew up a rough lifestyle.
Rough.
And if he grew up in America, which he did as a black man, he's continually living a rough lifestyle. Racism is barely gone. But you could tell that he was putting on
the white voice coming from broadcasting from New Jersey.
And then a fly flew in his mouth. What the fuck is going on, man?
Chris Tucker?
Man, never touch a black man's radio!
That was too loud. You're funny.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anywho. I actually did a voiceover for a video game where I spoke like a black dude.
What really happened on that Thursday here at Augusta?
Thursday here at Augusta. We're having a little sound redundancies.
Today on the news.
No, I did a voiceover as a black dude on a video game called Bone Town. It's an adult
Bone
video
Town.
Game, but any chance to do voiceover?
Everybody's boning all the time.
Oh, in the town.
Basically, it's a video game where you go around and you make points by having sex with girls.
Okay.
And you start off with having no experiences, and your balls on the top left of the screen are tiny.
I love this.
So in this video game, you start off with tiny balls.
Wow.
And so you have to have sex with the fat girls first in order to grow balls.
That's hard.
Because fat girls will say yes to you, and hot girls won't in the game.
Right.
And once your balls grow and you get experience doing fat girls, you are confident enough to have sex with
But you know, I hear that because of the fat girl aspect, fat girls are really good in certain things, you know, not necessarily, you know.
Everything. Fat girls need love too, Craig!
Oh my God.
No, but I didn't do a black man's voice. I'm sorry, I did a black man's voice for something else. But for that video game, I did a Cholo Mexican accent.
So what did you do?
Basically, hey, I did shit like, hey, baby, how about some anal?
Hey, why don't you suck my
my pene real quick?
Hey, listen.
But I like doing the Mexican accent because it's really not that hard.
You sound like Chich Marin.
Chich and Chong.
If you wanna get the cheese going, you gotta kind of get your voice all crackly, man. Hey, you wanna join, man?
Yes.
But that was fun. Voiceover work has got to be one of the.
It's a moneymaker.
Funnest, most lucrative jobs out there.
And
most enjoyable.
You work for, 5 minutes, maybe, you know, half an hour to an hour. You can make, a couple hundred.
And once you make it in the voiceover business, you have your own home studio, right?
You
because you're making a shitload of money you can afford to
build. Yeah,
you just
record it, you upload it, you send it to the agent or director, whoever, and then they love it, they use it, and then they just...
You freaking wake up, you're in your boxers, you're doing your own recordings at home in your underwear and making... about $1,500 a day.
Great. Sign me up.
Can't be bad.
Can't be bad.
No. But yeah, you know?
Stuff like that.
You can't be fake.
Don't be fake. Be real. Be real.
You have to be real.
Have you seen This Is It?
The Michael Jackson movie?
Yeah.
I have not.
What are you talking about? The Michael Jackson movie?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Pat, while we talk about this, can you find that when he did
this
Beat It in Layers? He was doing Beat It before the final version of Michael Jackson's Beat It came out.
Okay.
And he did every part of the song with his voice because he had a vision in his head of how the song should sound. Mm. So the first layer, he'd be, you know...
The second layer, he'll be like... In the movie.
And then like after 6-7 layers later, it sounds like the whole Beat It we know now, but all done with Michael Jackson's voice.
He's
which further proved that this dude was a musical genius.
Yeah. If you see the movie, you will appreciate him on another level. Like,
really?
It's just, I mean, I was a bawling mess the first time I saw it. The second time, I got to just compose myself and I watched the movie entirely with just appreciating the art, the music, the dancers,
right.
Everything. And it was so funny because I was like, oh, I didn't get to see that because my eyes were so teary the first time. Like,
right.
I missed some things. So it was very special.
Michael Jackson kept it real. And, you know, that was a pretty
love.
Fucked up lifestyle. He had a messed up childhood.
It did.
But he kept it real because we saw him as a weird dude. Well, we didn't see him as a fake, unweird, you know, more normal guy.
Well, that's the thing about really amazingly talented and important people in our culture is we fucked them over. John Lennon, you know, amongst other historical people. When someone's there spreading a positive love, helping people message, somehow we tend to screw them up. That's why we had to throw the molestation thing at him. So because he was getting too positive and a lot of people were listening to him.
Can you imagine if John Lennon was around today, what he would be doing, how he would be shaking up people? Imagine John Lennon was alive today, 6-7 years ago, however long it was when we went into Iraq.
Yeah.
Imagine the freaking free benefit concerts John Lennon would be doing to get people to rise up against Iraq. Well, I feel like there's a reason why these revolutionaries like Lennon, Marley were gone early. There had to be some kind of upper hand that knew that these guys were going to get in the way of government with their freedom efforts, and they got rid of.
Absolutely. It doesn't work in the benefit of the powers that be.
Right. If Bob Marley was alive today, imagine the anti-war concerts he'd throw for Afghanistan and all these people getting together in America. Oh, my God. It would be insane.
Have you seen that? It's on YouTube. Illuminati?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think about that?
It exists.
It exists because that's freaky. I mean, it shows that how Michael was being, you know, like watched and controlled, and now when I watched that, I was like, wow, maybe he did get murdered.
Well,
you know,
there's always a bigger hand mixed in any situation that we're aware of. What was it? Okay, John Lennon got assassinated. What happened to Marley? Something.
Oh, Marley got skin cancer.
Skin cancer.
Melanoma.
Oh, that's right. His foot. Right.
But see,
his
that's why I'm having a hard time thinking there was an upper hand because. Can melanoma be implanted by top-level CIA agents?
Anything is possible.
For some reason, I want to believe that that's possible because I want to believe that these guys got taken out and we're going to fucking continue their voice.
Are we? Continue. Power to the people.
Forget this bullshit, man. We need people like Lennon and Marley around now. Who is out there right now that is as influential with their music as Marley and Lennon?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Answer, nobody.
Nobody. For us to think that long.
That's why these revolutionaries were cut off early. And that's why shows like these need to pick up where they left off. To get people freaking caring again. To get people having conversations like we are again. Trust me, man. I've been out in LA. I've seen these fucking hipsters interact. You know how hipsters interact?
I hate that word.
Listen, we'll talk about the word hipster in a minute and debunk the whole hipster.
Do they hip?
This is how hipsters interact with each other. Ready?
Ready.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
All right, cool.
Cool.
All right, I just said what's up to you, now you have a...
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing. What's up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool, tight.
I think
no one does shit. No one talks about anything. They just want to look like... just want to look like hipsters with their flannel shirts, tight pants.
What is a hipster?
Let me tell you what I think a hipster is, and then we're going to never bring up that word hipster again on this show.
Thank God.
Typically, they have a look. The look is...
Really tight pants.
Shirts that look like they're old flannel shirts, even though they're made now and available at American Apparel. Skinny leg pants, which some of them sag, which pisses me and a couple of my friends off.
Yeah.
Big up to Ish. What up, Ish?
What's up with that? You know, it's like their little butts and that.
That's
like,
the thing.
I don't think
you should sag your pants unless you got a big, nice, juicy ass so you can have an ass cleavage. Otherwise, it's just a thok-thok, a flat board with pants.
But for some reason, hipsters think that Tuck flatboard ass looks great.
No, it's not.
And they
attractive.
Ride the fixed gear bikes, whatever. But what is the personality of a hipster?
Zero.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
No content, therefore the image.
Right. It's a beauty contest out there. No one wants to have opinions anymore. And that's why everyone needs to start listening to this fucking show and start putting their fists up in the air. Start thinking like Marley Lennon are heroes. Start leading government instead of the other way around.
Right,
let Jay-Z talk a little bit about shit that's overdone, like the auto-tune effect, with this little track called DOA, Death of Auto-Tune. We'll be right back.
This is right on.
Auto-tune, death of the ringtone. This ain't for iTunes, this ain't for sing-alongs. This is Sinatra at the opera, bring a blonde, preferably with a fat ass who can sing a song. Wrong, this ain't politically correct. This might offend my political connects. My raps don't have melodies. It should make jackets want to go and commit felonies. Get your chain took in. I may do it myself, I'm so Brooklyn. I know we facing a recession, but the music y'all making gon' make it the Great Depression. Or your lack of aggression. Put your skirt back down, throw a set, man. Yeah, this just violent. This is death for auto-tune, moment of silence. For the rewrite history without a pen. No ID on the track, let the story begin. Begin, hold up. This ain't a number one record. This is practically assault with a deadly weapon. I made this just for flex and Mr. C, I want people to feel threatened. Stop your blood clot crying. The kid, the dog, everybody dying, no lying. Boy's jeans too tight, your colors too bright, your voice too light.
Too
I might wear black for years straight. I might bring back Versace shades. This ain't for Z100. Ye told me to kill y'all to keep it 100. This is for Hot 97. For Khaled, who we the best in. Yeah, this just violent. This is death for auto-tune, moment of silence. Rapper to rewrite history without a pen. No ID on the track, let the story begin. Begin. Hold up. This might need a verse from Cheesy. Hey. I might send this to the mixtape, Weezy. Get somebody from BMF to talk on it. Get this to a blood, let a Crip walk on it. Get me thou to style on this. I just don't need nobody to smile on this. You rappers singing too much. Get back to rap, you T-painting too much. I'm a multi-millionaire, so how is it I'm still the hardest one here? I don't be in the project hallway, talking about how I be in the project all day. That sounds stupid to me. If you a gangster, this is how you prove it to me. Yeah, just get violent. This is death for auto-tune, moment of silence.
Yo, that was Death of Auto-Tune by Jay-Z off of his latest album. I don't know why our end song came on, but as I was saying in the when we started the first half, we're officially on podcast. So everyone out there, please subscribe to our podcast called Raw Radio.
Thank you.
Por favor.
If you just search for Raw Radio on iTunes, you'll find it right there. You know how hard it was to get us up on podcast?
How?
Why?
I didn't mention this, did I?
No.
It's not as easy as uploading a video to YouTube to be able to do what we're doing, just broadcast a show. And maybe that's a good reason, so that not everybody's out there yapping bullshit.
Do you have to apply or interview or application?
No, the process of getting Apple to see your MP3s is a process in itself, because Apple does not take in the MP3s himself. You don't just upload this show's, you don't just record the show, convert it to an MP3, and send it to Apple. Mm-hmm. You take that MP3, and it has to stay at some server somewhere, just like a website is.
Okay.
And then there has to be a separate text file called an RSS. I'm
all
not
right,
going to bore
already.
You.
I'm not going to,
yeah.
Well,
anyway,
technical,
it's a fucking process.
Mumbo jumbo.
It took us a few days to figure it out. Our sound engineer, Pat, had a big part in figuring that out.
Thanks, Pat.
Not only that, because it gave us such a headache, he's like, I'm going to make sure no one else goes through his shit. And Pat decided to make a YouTube video showing people how to set up their own podcast.
No
Thanks,
way.
Pat?
Wow,
and that's the kind
nice
of freaking
guy.
People I need on my team.
That's
oh, my right.
God.
All right? People out there who are... As soon as they figure something out, they're like, how can I benefit society from this knowledge that I have?
Well, that's
educate.
A fantastic thing, and I think everybody should do that in their own profession.
Absolutely.
Knowledge
People
is
are too
power.
Lazy. They just shrug their shoulders and like, eh, well, what can I do?
You know, I watched a really...
Pat does that. He takes care
Thanks.
Of shit.
I watched a really awesome
best.
Film last night.
Sound
it was called
Pat.
The Days Before Today, something like that. Really mm-hmm. weird film, and one thing that it was... talking about is how we only have a few days here on this plane, in this time and space,
right.
on this planet. Just a few short days. And we have so many other places to go to. And what do most of us do? Waste it
right.
on bullshit.
Staring at glowing screens.
Wait, I do that too.
Whether it's our cell phone, our computer screen,
oh,
or television
man.
Screen, how much of the time is spent staring at a glowing freaking
too
screen?
Too much. I think that's how diseases are formed, because you're standing in front of a radiation and toxic energy, negative ions. There's nothing positive about telephone, computer, phones, radio. I mean, I think it's like moderation.
It's
you
practical.
Have to limit yourself. You know, you can't be there for 8 hours doing nothing.
How many of those reality shows have a positive message in them? Think about it.
No, oh, no. Yeah, the reality shows.
None
I mean,
of
when
them.
You guys were talking about that last time, I was seriously like, okay, I want to talk about this.
When people watch reality shows, what do? Hey, look how fat that guy is that's yeah. about to lose. Hey, that guy wants to marry that girl. Look how ugly she is. Blah, 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 blah. Instead of freaking watching these reality shows, go home, turn your fucking tube off, and create the shows that people are going to watch, damn it.
Or create something.
Create something.
Or live your life. How about that? How about
live your life. It's now or never.
All right.
Let's stop singing Bon Jovi.
He's from Jersey.
But
Jersey. I got family in Jersey, all
right? Let me tell you something right now. What we're doing right now is very spiritual.
Very.
Having a conversation is one of the most spiritual, meditative things you can do. And
oh,
let
yeah.
me tell you why. Because when you're having a conversation, you are only thinking about the subject at hand, the matter that's being talked about. Your thought is not what you did before this conversation. Your thought is not what you're going to do after you're done talking. You are caught up in the conversation.
In
you
the
are
moment.
In the moment.
Right.
And whenever you're in the moment, you are in Zen.
And you're connected.
And that's why conversation is a very meditative, beneficial thing for everyone.
Well, this is all planned. I mean, you know, people want to plan things. You don't plan anything. Your life is already set. And if you're spiritual and, you know, connect with yourself and find peace within you, and you just want to give and have all this love, there's going to be opportunities presenting themselves to you. They're not you're
Very
not going
true.
To you're not going to constantly run after something, because
positive thoughts evoke positive outcomes.
Well, right. Here's one thing that I've observed specifically about LA, because that's where I live, is that spirituality is an amazing thing in a good balanced way, but a lot of people, especially in LA, are trendy spiritual. It's become trendy to be spiritual. And the way I've been
What do you
observed,
mean? In what in specifically what kind of spirituality is trendy in LA?
Well, you can be a Buddhist, a Taoist, a yogist.
Wait,
whatever,
I don't know if anybody is thinks they're cool in LA being a Buddhist. What are you talking about?
No, what I mean is this information about spirituality and the things that you need to do to be in the now, love, compassion for others. People talk about these things, but when it comes to the moment of
Not
really
yet.
Putting this to use, they don't. They just talk about it, but when they have to use the information,
there's
and
no action.
Really, there's they don't they you know they talk about love and oneness when they go to Burning Man or wherever, and then when they're in traffic, they're cussing out the guy next to them. What happened to all the love?
So right. that so when they come back from an event like Burning Man,
they're all pumped up at first
because at
then
Burning
then, no.
Man they were on 50 drugs.
Oh
basically.
My gosh!
Oh, it was
you know
so
I've
beautiful.
Heard about Burning Man for the last like what 4 years.
Right.
Before that, I never heard of it, but. ever since I heard about it, it was like nonstop everywhere. I'm like, what is this Burning Man?
Right.
You know, and I don't know. I'd like to experience it.
I would too, but not.
I see what Yeva's talking
about.
But
not all the drugs and all that. Just the letting go of all the technology.
There's nothing wrong with drugs in moderation. But what I'm saying, when this drug, whatever it is you do, gives you a message used practically, put it to use.
Be proactive about it.
Or try to sustain that effect for the rest of your life. Don't just be a weekend spiritual person.
Exactly.
Or something.
Exactly. Most people are weekend spirituals.
I'm a holiday spiritual.
It's great dinner conversation to talk about these things. But right. In reality, they can care less about you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like vegetarians. Don't be a vegetarian just for 1 week or just to get your friends to know that you're vegetarian.
This is one thing. I love vegetables and I love vegetarians. But why are you making soy beef?
Right. Eat beef, damn it.
You know, if it's for some people who are weaning off of beef, it's kind of like that substitute. You're looking at it and thinking, okay, it looks like beef.
But if we've been eating beef for 20,000 years, why would you want to wean yourself off of beef?
Well, don't get me wrong. I love vegetables and vegetarians, but don't be a hypocritical vegetarian.
Don't want to eat something that looked like that beef. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying if you're a vegetarian, why are you creating something that's a meat product in substitution of soy?
What else can you make it though? I mean, if you think about it, like soy, you know, in beef, you're like, okay, that looks good. I can.
You know
eat
what?
That.
The three of us are really opinionated, and I'm sure all three of us have really strong
thoughts, sayings
about things.
Ideas.
Let's play. We talked about this last week. Okay. I want to do a little segment. We're gonna call Express Yourself. Here's what we're going to do during this segment. We're going to go around in circle, and the first thing that comes to your mind, just say it. Don't even filter it, what that thought is. Tell me what you're thinking from what you're observing or what your mind's on right at this moment.
You start.
I'll start.
Set the tone.
Those headphones look huge on your head.
I know.
Yeva.
It feels like it's squeezing in
my ears.
We're
going to say is one sentence each. Go in a circle. And this might be a complete failure, but let's just try it.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn. I'm looking at you.
That Obey poster behind you with Andre the Giant is very fitting of your face.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm in such a giddy mood right now.
Does he ever think I have a face like Andre the Giant?
No, the colors. It's all about the colors.
What's going on with that, like, Obey? What does Obey mean, really?
We're on Express Yourself segment right now.
Express Yourself. I'm expressing myself.
No questions.
So you have questions.
Oh, it's question. Okay,
not questions.
No questions.
You have
statements?
You have an inquisitive mind.
Videotape? What is that?
I think we're going to shoot video soon. Yeah. I mean, we got to post some kind of like a YouTube advertisement for this show.
I know, huh?
Let
That'd
some
be
people
fun.
Know, you know? I mean, so what if we have 1 billion listeners? Let's go to 2 billion now.
2 billion?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
We're only the biggest show.
Ever. In history of shows. We broadcast on Mars now, actually.
No one knows what the hell they're doing. You know what? Because all these shows that broadcast, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to an old topic. These podcast shows, they do not learn from the best.
Well,
I do.
Do research.
Okay, Hitler.
No, you know who the best is? Howard
I know.
Stern. They
yes,
need to learn from the best.
You know, I listened to Howard Stern, and I watched the show. Mm-hmm. I definitely enjoyed watching his...
Should we get some strippers on the show?
Yeah, but how are people at home listening going to see strippers?
They can just talk.
Strippers talking isn't the funnest thing in the
they
world.
They can click their heels.
Here's a stripper talking. Here's a stripper talking. Hi, it's really great to be here.
Friends.
So what do you do?
Oh my God, let me give a shout out to my friend Jenna and my friend Becky.
Yeah, but I'm only stripping because I'm studying to go to medical school.
But I got this
money.
So you're a stripper doctor?
Yes.
Mm. Stripping doctor.
My friend Camden, Jenna, Brittany.
Hi. So I got this doctor to buy me some new boobs.
Oh my God, all I had to do was just suck his dick and he bought me boobs.
Oh my God. Don't you love my boobs? They're just so high. High up in the sky.
Oh my God.
So done with all Valley Girls. We're done with anyone being fake. We're done with anyone making excuses and just being flakes. Do you guys hate flakes?
I hate people who commit. They are the ones that make that first move. That's my pet peeve. You make the move to say, hey, let's get together and do this project. And you're like, great. You set it up. And then they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work. I got things.
What
you know,
I hate
came
more
up.
Than that is you make the move to invite your friends out or invite whoever out.
Yeah.
They have no job. Let's okay.
They don't.
I'm just giving you a specific example of one person
job.
Has no job. Isn't
it's
really.
Friday.
It's Friday. You got no job. You ain't got shit to do.
Oh my god.
And then I'll ask. And the excuse is, oh, yeah, let me see. I'm sorry. Maybe I can make it. Maybe I can't. I don't know. I'll let you know. I'll call you. Let me see. It's so sketchy. You know, I just have to make all these. I'm running around. I'm doing this and that. I'll let you know. Can I let you know? I'll text you. Listen to me. Listen
You're
to
not
me.
That important.
Listen to me. I'm doing 10 fucking things more than you. I'm doing a fucking best podcast show in the world.
Yeah.
I'm getting things started on the side. I have a job. I'm doing this, that. And I'm still making time for you. What makes you think that you're not good enough?
You know
give
what?
Me flaky reasons.
Well, how about like people who get married and then they disappear? Like they can't handle like making time for you to come visit and hang out.
Well, once they get married, then they're off to like when am I going to have kids?
They don't have like a life anymore. Their whole personality is like
changed. Their life changes.
Trust me.
It changes, but you should make time for people that you used to hang out with.
Well honestly, I'd like to see you guys get married and see if you're going to make time for things. It's hard.
Are you married?
I'm not. No.
So how do you know?
I'm married in a single room studio.
I have 50 cousins. Okay, half of them are married, have kids, and it's always like, oh, I have kids. You know, I can't get a babysitter. But if you really need to get out, you'll find a babysitter. You know, or if you want to get out, that's what it is.
Marriage, forget it. People want to have fun. Okay, go out, have fun. Kids, yeah, do it when you're 40.
No.
Yes.
You know what?
Forget this whole. Our parents married when they were 16. We're gonna marry when we're 38.
That was like rape.
Seriously, our parents were busy raping each other, but we're gonna play it smart.
You know those marriages that are like what do you call it?
Arranged
marriages. Isn't that just legalized rape? Like this girl doesn't even know if he's good in bed. Poor and she girl. Has to service him.
Listen, that's one of the biggest things in the arranged marriages things that they set up their 12-year-olds to get married with.
That's just wrong.
Billionaire sheiks or Shay, whatever
like
you call them.
Like 90-year-olds.
Scums.
Yeah, that's
pedophilia. All right, let's move on.
Get anyway. That, man. Make time, dude. Don't be a flake. You know, you're not that busy. You're not that important. You're not Ryan Seacrest with 80 things to do every day.
You know, I worked for Ryan. Well, kind of.
You worked for Ryan Seacrest?
I interned for Ryan.
I interned for Star 98.7 with Ryan Seacrest and Lisa Fox. And it was the most fun internship that I've ever had. I had to screen calls, and I would get these crazy people sometimes, you know. And I'm trying to hurry up because they're waiting. The producer's like right there. She's like, okay, who's next? You know, like, what do you have? And it comes up like five people are calling you, and you have to take the call and make it real quick. And and sometimes I had these weird old lady who call and be like, thinking that I'm her daughter, and be like, honey, are you coming home?
Are you serious?
You know, and I'm just like, wrong number.
But why would she dial Ryan Seacrest's number to contact her daughter?
I think the show just had stalkers or weirdos or prankers,
maybe,
you know? And so
maybe it's his mother. Mother. I like that.
Wait, you worked for Ryan Seacrest before Ryan Seacrest was
Ryan Seacrest.
Before Seacrest. Idol and everything.
Before
yeah,
he was Seacrest. Out?
Seacrest out, yeah. He was, you know, he was really nice. He was very friendly and businesslike. Professional guy.
He never tried to hit on you or anything like
no,
that?
No, actually, he didn't. He was very respectful.
No, I don't think so. I think.
No, he
didn't. Metro?
I believe.
No, he was very flirty, but not like in an unprofessional way. It was very like,
he was
hey,
a professional flirter.
Yeah, he was a professional flirter. I mean, he's a host. You got to be a professional flirter.
But Seacrest is constantly with hot young models, right? He's not gay. Definitely not gay.
I don't think he's gay.
But while he was with you, he was very professional. Never tried to make a move
on
you.
No. It was awesome, though. I mean,
he claims he's the hardest working man in show business.
You know what? He's a hustler. He's out there. I mean, he's working 4 or 5 in the morning.
Really?
Till like probably late at night.
Ryan Seacrest wakes up at the crack of dawn like Ari Gold.
I like Ari Gold.
No, you got to give people like that credit. Good for him. I read last time on the internet, Seacrest makes over $10 million a year from everything.
What does he do with it?
Everything he does. Well, I'm sure he has a fat house.
Yeah.
I'm sure
he works out a lot. a personal trainer.
Right.
And then?
And he makes
probably
time.
Probably travels. I mean, he probably travels with his job, so he doesn't travel as much as he'd like.
So what does he really do to benefit humanity with his money?
I don't know. We'll have to research that for the next show.
What does he do? What does Ryan Seacrest do to benefit humanity with his money is the question.
Idol, they did give back. Idol gives back.
Did give back?
Does Ryan Seacrest build schools in Africa?
Yes.
I think he, you know, hangs out there maybe once a year.
He just hangs out in Africa. He goes to South Africa in a gated compound and hangs out.
He waves.
And he says, last year I was at Africa at a gated compound.
Now.
And I waved at all the poor kids.
They got to see me. I smiled for them.
I said, Ryan Seacrest out.
So our little segment we called Express Yourself was a complete failure.
We're not doing that ever.
We're
again.
Not going to do that again.
Never.
You know what? We changed.
Sorry, guys.
We changed topics on this show too quick.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
You think we changed them right enough for it to be interesting?
Yes, speaking of which, I have to introduce my random sex fact.
Give Ooh. Me Yeva B, Ooh. Who always bees. No, I'm sorry.
In the business.
Yes.
Give us a random sex fact now.
Basket shopping.
Stop. Stop right now. We want your random sex fact in a sexual voice.
Okay. Basket shopping is looking flirtatiously at the male genitalia throwing his clothes.
Basket shopping?
Yes.
Is what?
Looking at the male genitalia through his clothes flirtatiously.
Oh, basket shopping is what women do, or gay men.
Sure.
You know, I've never heard that term.
Let me ask you,
shopping.
Mel. When you go out, let's say you've been bar hopping, you go to a few bars. You've had a few drinks in you. You're feeling good. You're feeling like dancing. I could tell you love to dance.
I love to dance.
Do you basket shop?
You know what? Sometimes
all women.
If
do.
If they're wearing like a really nice fitted jeans or pants,
you look down.
I mean, it's right there. It's hard to not look.
It's like a guy. Do you look at a girl's boobs when you're talking to her?
Absolutely. Especially if she's wearing something that's making me boob shop.
Like, yeah. Does that rack shopping?
Rack shopping. Nice.
I got it off the rack.
I got it off the rack.
Wow, that's got multiple entendres.
Entendres.
Hey, what was that thing that I said earlier about spirituality? Your third eye.
Did we just jump from basket shopping to spirituality and third eyes?
Sorry,
We just went from entendre.
Hey, spiritual sex should be very deep.
You're talking about the, what do they call that? When you have sex through
Tantra?
Meditation?
Tantra?
Tantra, yes.
Tantra.
Tantra sex.
And the whole point of tantric sex.
No, Kama Sutra, right? Kama Sutra.
Position.
Oh, yeah.
The whole point of tantric sex is to sustain orgasm, right?
And have sex on a higher level instead of, which I have to say, from having conversations with many
Wait,
females.
Wait, explain what sex on a higher level means.
Well, let me tell you the lower level so I can tell you what the higher level
okay.
is. Okay. Many girls that I spoke to and know of always say that the sex with men, especially in LA or locals, is like they use the female's body as a form to jerk off with. They don't really engage right. like a kid enjoys ice cream. Mm. That's how two people should enjoy each other instead of friction, friction, friction. Done.
So this is, what do you call it, bad sex or traditional sex or what do you call that?
That's typical
that, like porn
typical
sex?
That's porn sex.
Porn
typical
sex.
Sex sounds like this.
That's great.
Wait, you just said that's bad sex.
No, it's a good rendition of it.
So sometimes, do you want that pound me sex or do you want...
Listen, when it comes, but it should be long and drawn out and starting slow, feeling each other, like really kissing, touching, all of that. And then where it goes. But instead of this, like, this position, that position, da da da, bada bing, done.
So when you're having sex, bada-bing, stop bada-bing. Thinking about your sexual organs.
There should be no thinking.
It's okay.
Just this dance.
Constant flow, this movement.
No, absolutely.
It's
I agree with
love.
You.
It's a dance. Yes. That's where you are achieving orgasm on the place where you feel like you're at meditation. It's like a meditational.
Now, where does the whole concept of you sustaining your orgasm come in?
If you come really quickly, that's the pornographic primitive sex. Boom, 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 done.
So if you're coming really quickly, your mind is thinking about sex and it's basically thinking.
Right.
But if you're in the moment enjoying each other and it's like music.
You want it to go on for as long as possible, eternity even.
Right. Now, do females have a problem with coming too quick?
No, males do.
Males do. But have you ever had a problem where you finished before your sexual partner?
No, I had a problem of faking it.
So you noticed your male had finished and you're like, let me make him feel good by making him think I finished as well.
Right. It was more like, can this finish already? I want it to be done.
Mel, you don't have a problem with this, do you?
You know.
With coming before your sexual partner?
Sometimes.
Oh, you do?
If I'm not connecting and right. I'm not really feeling it, I end up faking it or actually I stop it.
You stop it.
I'm like, you know what? I'm not into it anymore.
Are you serious?
That's a really good point.
And then I say, you know what? I can't do this. And then they're like, what? What? I'm like, you know what?
Is it a Japanese guy?
I don't know.
Sexual! Jambura! Shuriken okudasai!
Well, you know, that's a good point you brought
up. I'd rather
up
be real and not be fake, you know, because
absolutely.
Sometimes if I'm, if I like the person, I don't want to hurt their feelings, then I'll maybe I'll go into the fake mode and try to enjoy the moment. But afterwards, if I really don't care anymore, I'm just like, you know what? I'm not feeling this.
And how does the guy react when mid-sex you tell him, you know what? No. Or, listen, you know what? Don't.
Well, it's hard. It's hard on their ego. It's hard on their whole, like, whoa, what the hell just happened? And well, but I talk about it. I don't just go, peace out, you know? Peace
out. Okay, okay. So you talk about it.
We have a nice, like, okay, listen, this is what happened. I don't like it, or whatever it was, you know? Like.
So you'll give the guy a second chance? Tell him, hey, go home, read some tantric yoga, Kama Sutra, and then come back and talk
to me. No, you either are connected or you're not.
Most of the time, no. I agree with you. Most of the time, no, yeah.
I agree with you. Chemistry is everything.
Well, and it's not worth it. You know, you just, you don't want to feel like that feeling you get afterwards, you know, that you just did
after
something.
After what? After having awkward sex?
Awkward sex, right. You know, or just, yeah, you just don't want
to. Well, listen, awkward sex happens to everyone.
It does. It does. So, but being real about it and ending it, then continuing to the point where you're like, oh God, I can't believe I let it go all the way.
But it's good that you ended and you talk about it, because the guy could be like, oh man, what was it? Was it my size? What was it? What did I do wrong?
No, it's healthy. I think people don't talk sometimes. They just do, and then they're like, oh, okay.
I agree with you. People do not communicate often.
They don't.
And sex is one of the things they should communicate through.
Right.
Actually, I enjoyed speaking during sex. Really? I don't know if you guys are into that.
Speaking? That's
I don't enjoy.
Well, not speaking, but I don't talking. Enjoy. Other than the, do you like that? Do you like that? I mean, I'm talking about
touch it there.
You know, maybe not the same conversation you would have when you're not having sex, but being verbal,
very supportive.
Supportive. But as long as it doesn't, you hear each other.
Rewarding.
Yeah, you kind of get an idea of where the other person's head is.
Yeah, it's because you're guiding each other. Sometimes you can't. Exactly. You can't mind read. I mean, you have to sit there and explain, especially if you're new to each other's bodies.
Right.
There's a lot of exploring, so you don't have to, you know, question and go, does she like that? Does he like that?
You know? There's a difference between whatever sex and when you truly connect with someone. There's no need to explain or feel awkward. It just flows like a river.
Right,
flows.
It happens.
Yeah. And most of the time, actually, orgasm originates in your mind, in your head. So if you're mentally turned on by someone, there's no effort. It's just like this thing that's taking over you.
Well, there's two types. There's the visual. And then there's the mental.
And then there's both.
And then there's both. And then when there's both, then there's
mind-blower.
Effortless
that's
sex
intense.
And effortless relationships are true, true ways of doing it.
Right.
When it comes together without any effort. Because I was with a girl when we had this conversation. She said, you really have to work hard to hold on to a relationship.
No.
I feel like as soon as you have to work hard and make an effort to hold on to a relationship, it's already
over.
Done. You should have let
it go.
It's
just like friendships. We don't think about friendships sometimes.
Exactly.
It happens. It really just flows. You call each other. You don't question like, oh, should I call him right now?
That's
is he going to think differently?
Yeah. That's also a lover.
Right. So it's like you have to make it just happen naturally instead of questioning everything about it.
As soon as you question, no matter what it is in life, as soon as you think done,
that's
you're already living the projected version of that.
Because you're living in the future.
The power of now is the most important thing in the world, as said by Eckhart Tolle.
Don't know what I was thinking, because thinking
I read that
can
book.
Be used for practical reasons, like baking a cake, driving a car, solving a problem, but it's not needed for living situations, connecting with people, being compassionate. Use thinking when needed, but put it aside when you don't need it.
And that's where people worry so much, you know, and fear comes into play. So you just have to play and have fun and enjoy life and be in the moment. And that's why children are so happy all the time, because they're living in the moment and
they're
enjoying.
They're not overthinking anything.
They're not overthinking everything.
They have bright eyes. Everything is new to them.
And then when
power
you grow
of
up,
now.
You go into this state of mind where you're thinking, what are other people think of me? Should I say this?
Exactly.
Right. And that's fear when you ruin it.
Right. So.
Something along the lines of this subject. I'm going to ask you girls this. Whenever you're out, bar, club, house party, wherever you are, and let's say a new group walks in, a guy walks in, you can tell immediately from the way he stares at you, how long he looks at you, you can tell if he wants you.
Yes.
Most of the time, yes.
Right?
Some guys, you can't tell if you're looking at, they're looking at you or your friend.
But
you're like, who's going to respond?
But you always give them that kind of look back to see if he's checking me out or if he's not interested.
Sure.
Guys, I think, have that same perception of women, that that sensing the desperation, the same way a woman senses a desperation when a guy walks into the room. Oh, I think guys can see that same exact thing in women.
Absolutely.
And many women might not realize this fact.
Well, I think the whole bar situation sometimes is kind of a touchy subject, because guys have a different reason when they go to bars and girls have a different reason. You
girls
know?
Love to go dancing.
We want to hang out with the girls. Girls and hey, you know, dancing, have fun.
And if there's cute guys,
no boys,
great.
No boys. Right. If there's a cute guy, then I'm gonna go dance, you know, and then slowly if there's, you know, someone that matches with your friends, they all kind of mingle,
out to get,
you know.
Laid.
But guys go, they're like, I just want to get laid. You know,
you might
have like a few percentage of like women that go for that reason,
right.
But most of the time women go to have fun. And then you'll have a guy, oh, I want to buy a drink. Then
right.
they hang out with you like the whole night, like they're your new boyfriend.
That's why I don't let them buy me drinks.
And that's
exactly, like,
you know, then you decide, oh, no, excuse me. It's okay. I can buy my own drink. No, why? Let me
but
buy
I'm
a
talking
drink.
About maybe I'm not talking about the bar situation when it comes to guys analyzing girls, but there's
generally yes,
there seems to be this thing that when girls reach the age of, I don't know, 32 or whatever, around there, they chop their hair off, they make themselves look like moms waiting to be and I as a guy, I could so see this. Like, you have short hair, Mel, but you do not have that waiting to be mom short hair. I swear, I see some girls chopping their hair and it just looks like, well, if I date you, I guess we'll have fun for like 6 months, a year, and you'll be really
six
wild.
Minutes.
6 minutes,
hopefully.
Not 6 months.
Yeah, right. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe you'll be wild. You'll be cool. You know, we'll talk about our sexual fantasies. But then it just seems like I'm going
it's
into dad
to,
and mom mode.
Well, it's potential.
I don't
know.
I could smell it. I could hear it. I could see it.
Well, that woman is not for you.
No, I know.
She's attracting the guy who wants that.
Exactly.
But what kind of guy? I guess a lot. There's
listen,
guys out there that are
you
ready
shouldn't.
To settle
many
down.
Type
but
of guys.
Huh?
There's, and I don't believe in settling down. Only settling up. Find a guy or a girl that you have a lot of fun with, and it only gets better. It's
exactly.
not get dumbed down. If you're with the wrong person, it's going to get worse.
But right. what I'm talking about is, as soon as you get married, like Mel brought up earlier, you stop going out. You have reasons.
Not
for
everyone does. I know
no,
couples
no,
who are
no, no,
very
no,
true. I don't. I know that
oh, no,
does
no.
not apply to everyone.
Not yeah. everyone. Totally. I have a cousin who travels sometimes without her husband. You know, and they always share everything. They share the responsibilities of four kids,
right.
and you know, it's all about living your life too, and not forgetting about that. You know, some people do that. They feel like they have to sacrifice and they have this guilt. So that's what I was just saying earlier, like that you don't have to do that. You should live your life and be the person that you were.
I know. It's just I've heard from many girls that there's this age range, 30, 32, where your biological clock is ticking
I'll have to say whatever.
And then you just have this automatic, I got to have kids. I got to cut, you know.
No, it's not just that. But honestly, the way the human body operates on the bigger level is that you have to continue the survival of the species. So the mechanism of Bill Such, from certain
if you want to
age,
reproduce.
You're wildly crazy.
Yeah.
But you can't act like a 25-year-old when you're 55. There's
right.
There's a reason
no,
why
no,
I'm
no,
not
no.
talking
no.
about 55 either.
I know,
I'm talking
but look,
about 30.
You know what
so
it is?
Right,
also,
right.
I have to say, it's the if you have a like traditional family, the expectations, the pressure can really make you think that way, because it's conditioned. It's
right.
what you grew up with thinking, get married, have family, have a house, you know, do that traditional thing. And sometimes I've gone into that place where all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I have to find a good guy. I have
right.
to get married. I have to have kids.
But that's not what your mom wants.
That's what my family wants, you
no,
know?
I
but,
know,
but it's not what I want right now. So it's like, and then you have those moments where the biological clock is ticking and you're
right.
like, hello, what's going on?
We're all doing My Cousin Vinny?
But
right.
hey, but anything that is preconditioned in your mind, whether it's brought on by your parents, society, television, whatever, is not the right way to live.
No.
So even, I feel, I got
to
tell you.
Just be true to yourself.
I got to tell you something. I feel bad for most sheltered Armenian girls, because whether they want to or not, they are grown with that kind of preconditioning because of their parents.
Right.
And I'm sure their parents have good intentions. They just want their daughter to be grow up straight.
It's
because, you know,
they want
have
someone
kids, all that
to
shit.
Care for them so they don't have to worry about them anymore, you know, because that's what the bottom line is.
But it loses
is,
the whole,
you know?
Living in the now.
Exactly.
I don't think
they
have an idea about living in the now.
I think people live in fear about, like, oh, they're going to be alone. They're, you know, somebody, you know, should
well,
love
don't
them
give in to the fear. Just
right.
know that you are happy regardless and everything will fall into place.
Yeah, totally.
But speaking of that desperation fact you brought up, I was thinking about this. When a person walks into a room, they exude this energy. Somebody can walk in the room and say nothing, and they just glow this room. Everyone looks at them, wants to go towards them.
Man or woman?
Yes. Or you can be this. Your desperate energy is just as powerful. You walk in and you're like looking around, who's looking at the body language. Everything communicates what you're feeling.
Right.
You can't hide what you're really.
Absolutely. And that was the point I was bringing. Like, as soon as you walk in, there's certain guys. I see this happening with my friends, other guys who aren't my friends. I can tell the way that they're looking at that girl that just walked in. I am 100% sure that guy, that girl knows he wants to get in her pants.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
A girl can tell. There's a great song
and
by
that's
Spoon,
the game.
Girl Can Tell.
A girl can tell.
Girls are very intuitive.
Especially if they're really.
You know who's not intuitive? The girls that post the shitty Facebook statuses.
Poor guys. I'm so
What's
tired.
Up with that? No, sometimes people use it for like therapy. I was just saying that earlier.
And guys, but I feel most the people who put up like these shitty, mindless, going nowhere flat Facebook statuses are like these 14, 16-year-old girls or whatever.
Who's 14?
I don't know. Everybody on Facebook that you see statuses on. Or even when they don't have to be teenagers. Everybody posts these stupid. Like, for example, what's one example? Let me see. Okay, one example. Lita, whatever, Lita Perez had a wonderful weekend,
great.
Is the status. You know what, Lita Perez? Who the fuck cares if that's all your status has to say, okay? I feel like Facebook is a very powerful thing for these reasons. Immediately, I know what's going on in your lives as soon as you guys post like events from a picture or something that you
right.
did. And I love knowing what everyone's doing, what happened last weekend. Oh, I didn't go to that concert, but I just saw pictures. Someone said this about
you're
so
in the loop.
Facebook is a very powerful
you're
good
updated,
thing.
Yeah.
If used properly,
it's a very powerful tool.
But then you have these like, I'm at a wedding. My eyeball hurts. Jenna McCarthy is sick. Give me something more to like work with. Give me something of how you're feeling. Just something to, you know, get people thinking. That I guess I could just let those go. Whatever. Just let people do what they want. But I feel like it is ruining this service because people.
Well, yeah, there's. I mean, there's.
See it as that.
Right. Did you like my video blog?
I don't think I saw your video
you
blog.
I haven't seen my. Aw.
Were you,
yeah,
were you
saw
pole
my
dancing?
Video blog. No.
I would have definitely checked it out. You were pole dancing.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of videos.
Oh my God.
You have to check it out. Go check
Listen,
it out.
Listen, if you post a status that says, Mel T is pole dancing and here's my video, that's not a boring Facebook status, let me tell you.
That'll get 9,000 hits immediately.
But then there are the people who I tell them, who cares? Or I did this a long time ago. Now I fucking bite my lip. I tell them, and? Or I tell them, so what? Or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you care what I'm doing? What are you one of those like people that hate everything that people talk about? No, I'm not. I see this service going to waste because of numbskulls like you!
Alex, Alexander, I'll bring up one point.
Bird brains! There's all 80%
but
of people
okay.
are bird brains.
It's okay because we need the bird brains so we can distinguish ourselves as the intellectual elite. You need dark to know what is life.
I don't want
to
distinguish.
We're all the same, if we're all the same, what's the difference?
I don't want to be considered an intellectual elite.
Whatever.
I want to consider normal and all these 80% of the people are dumbasses.
That's okay. We need dumbasses.
I guess
hate.
We do.
We
I'm not hating.
There needs to be a balance.
I'm observing.
You know, there's all levels of people.
If
so.
They weren't dumbasses, you wouldn't be you, all right? So give it up.
Everything is relative.
Give it
yes.
up.
I agree.
Exactly. Bang. Don't hate. Bang. Appreciate.
I think we did quite a bit of meditating for this hour. Wouldn't you agree?
There's a lot of meditation.
Didn't this hour feel like it just flew by?
It's done already?
No.
We have been yapping for a freaking hour.
It was fun, though.
It was fun. I wanna stop and thank our host Mel Tomasian.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I
thank
had
you.
Such a memorable time tonight. So
oh, yeah.
I can't wait to you know hear this and actually be part of it. If you have me again, I'd love to be here.
You're welcome back anytime.
Awesome.
You're a great, great guest host.
Alex, I wanna thank you for being a fantabulous host. You just do the Mexican thing again.
Hey, what are you talking about, man? I mean, it's not that I'm a cholo.
But seriously, Alex, you're funny. You're really funny. This is a great show, and you
love
guys
you.
Are gonna be like, gonna be on the news. I'm telling you,
this is gonna be the best podcast because there's nothing but garbage out there. I have done my research,
right? I mean,
poo-poo.
Who wants to hear about celebrities? We want to talk about yourself.
It's
talk about other things that are important about life.
All the other podcasts smell like poo, poo, poo,
poo, poo, poo, poo.
Hey, thank you all for listening.
Yeva, you're beautiful. It's good to see you.
We're going to be back next week. Subscribe to our podcast.
Do it.
We love you for it. Spread the word.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Ciao.